Dwayne, Raptors win. Get out the salami and cheese, mama. This ball game is over. There you go, folks. It's all good. It's all good.
What's up, everybody? I'd like to welcome everyone to TERP Episode 19 Special Playoff Edition, second round, though. So welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us again on this lovely Friday morning. We're recording this Thursday, and as, yes, you heard it, Akshay's got a cat in the background.
Oh, you can hear it already?
I can hear the cat already. We played a game almost like how long it would take until we can hear Akshay's cat. Turns out it's like 5 seconds.
She's going crazy. I can barely hear it because I got headphones on, but I'm sure you guys can hear it. So I'm cat sitting, and I've ruined everything by giving her too many treats. And now she knows if she just comes and meows at me consistently, I give her a treat. So she's trying to do that right now, and I don't have the heart to lock her out of the room. So you may hear some meows through this 20 to 30 minute episode.
This is what we get from this. Akshay is actually not a ruthless person at all. He's the nicest guy. You ask him whatever you want, he'll give it to you slowly.
Yeah, if you annoy me enough, I just give it to you.
There you go. Everyone, whoever wants anything from Akshay, just keep bothering him, sending DMs. He'll give you whatever you need, right?
My non-existent Instagram account. How is... Talib went and watched the new Avengers, which I've seen none of. I have no idea what the Avengers are even about. But if you'd like to ruin it for everybody, Talib.
No. I'm not doing that. I'm not that mean. All I want to say is it's a great movie, 3 hours long. I feel like I was watching an Indian movie half the time. I feel like I was watching Avengers, but 3 hours, the thought of 3 hours just reminds me of watching like an Indian movie and with like no soundtrack. So it's amazing.
Oh, hi. She's back. Oh, she's right beside the mic. Amazing. So you're going to hear more cats. All right. So this episode, I'm trying to pet her so she's calmed down. We're going to actually just go over really quickly the last series. I felt like it was not a super significant series to go over, but we're mostly going to talk about the next series, which is the Sixers, and what our predictions are and where we feel, you know, some of the interesting matchups and stuff. So before we get into the Sixers, Talib, what did you like about the Orlando series?
There's one thing I loved, and loved a Gasol. I've been praising Marc Gasol, and Marc Gasol came clutch. He was amazing. You know, he obviously restricting All-Star Vucevic. I'll tell you, I don't think Nikola Vucevic is an All-Star. I think it's the reason why there's not many All-Stars in the East at all. So that's why Nikola makes it. That being said, Gasol played him really well, and playoff Norm returned. Playoff Norm from Indiana. Same type of Norm, same type of attacking mentality. It was good to have him back. What about you, man?
I like the defense, like after game one, even game one, I didn't think the defense was terrible. I just thought it was like very regular season. And then the second they decided, they're like, oh, wait, we have to play playoff level defense. 4 games in a row, they played really, really great defense. And they kind of just destroyed Vucevic. One of the interesting stats I saw about Vucevic was I think he played 32 minutes in the series or something like that. When Gasol was not on him, primarily when Gasol was in foul trouble or whatever, and Serge was on him. And during those 32 minutes, he had like a 20 and 10. So it's just pretty much his average. So anytime Gasol was not on, he was playing to his average, which if you remember, there was like one streak in the third quarter, I think of game 4 or something like that, or game 3, where he went off. Like he scored like 12 or 14 points or something.
Yeah,
like that.
So, I think that was when Gasol was in foul trouble.
That's when Gasol got his fourth foul and he was praying to the gods.
Oh, praying to Spanish gods.
Yes.
Let's do it. And Serge stepped up and struggled mightily. And then everyone started relaying curses on Serge. And then he picked it up afterwards. But that's all good, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, Gasol came back in, locked him down, and he became a player who scored 6 points in a closeout game. So
absolutely. Thou shalt not hate on Serge. I'll tell you that right now. Serge is MVP.
Yes. MVP of the bench. So, okay, let's get into like the next series because that's way more interesting. The next series is your Toronto Raptors versus the Philadelphia Sixers, a rematch of the famous Vince Carter goes to his graduation series, which happened 18 years ago. Can you imagine that? 18 years ago. The guy's still playing in the league.
Can someone make sure that I think none of like Kawhi or Lowry has decided to go to school and graduating this year? Is that happening?
No. Yeah, no, it's Kawhi's graduation in like 2 weeks.
Oh,
he's going to have to fly to Cape Town for his for his graduation. and so, no, I don't think there's any graduations. And it looks like everybody's healthy, so your whole roster should be there, except maybe OG. Maybe sometime in the middle of the series, he should come back. Okay, so I want to talk about who guards who. This is a really interesting series because there's a lot of like big bodies, and especially the Sixers. The Sixers are a really big team from like front to back, and their starters especially. And so the guarding is really interesting. So the Sixers obviously have Embiid, Simmons, Redick, Butler, and Harris. How do you think they're going to guard the five guys on the Raptors are going to guard these five guys? Who do you think is going to start on who? I know there's a lot of switching, but who's going to start on who?
I think it's almost like Raptors can switch 1 to 4. I'll say that right now. 1 to 4 is easily switchable, right? The five, which is a center position, I think that's fixed. Embiid and Gasol. I think everyone knows that's coming. The rest of the ones, I think Simmons. I think Lowry's going to take Simmons early on. And the reason why I think that is I think Lowry, it'd be pretty funny to see Simmons post up Lowry and try that, because what that does is that he can allow to be help defense on any other shooters, right? Because Simmons is not exactly a shooting threat. Mm-hmm. It's honestly right. So if you're playing help defense on like, say, Butler or Embiid, Lowry can come in, because leaving Simmons open is like, hey, I'll leave him open. It's all good. You know, he'll shoot that jump, whatever it is. So I think that's what we'll start off with. In the transition or whatever, in that sense, it'll be different. But I think Green is going to be guarded by – so it's going to be Danny Green and Jimmy Buckets. That's a pretty obvious one. And Siakam, I think, with Harris. And, yeah, that should be it. And Kawhi, obviously.
On who? On Redick?
My bad. Kawhi on Butler.
Yes.
Kawhi on Butler, Green on Redick, Siakam on Harris. That's what I think.
So you think the guarding is going to be just positions, like whatever the normal positions are to start?
I think to start, I think you'll see the change very fluidly, just because I'll see the Sixers run a lot of switches. They run a lot of switches, a lot of handoffs, a lot of backdoor switches, a lot of elevator switches, like, you know, like all these screens and all coming into play. And that's what the Raptors are really equipped, because what's going to happen is you're going to see a lot of switches where you're going to see 1 to 4 switch. And the most interesting one is going to be the Embiid matchup. That's the big one, right? When they put on like Simmons, put a screen on Embiid, and if we get a Lowry and Embiid problem, that might be a little troublesome for the Raptors. So that's why we need someone who can like make that switch. And if someone's like, it's going to be interesting to see how they match up, how they actually make that switch. But I think overall, I think that's Embiid's going to be, is going to be hardcore guarded by Gasol. Lowry on Simmons. I know everyone wants Leonard on Simmons is a very good matchup. I think they'll come when the time goes on. But initially, it's going to start with Lowry, just because I don't know where Lowry going to fits in with this Sixers lineup.
Yeah, it's weird. So I think the starting one and the ending one may be different for sure. I do think for sure the ending one will have Kawhi on the ball, so likely on Simmons. Gasol and Embiid will always guard each other. I do think I have a feeling that you may see Lowry even start on Redick or Butler. But I don't know. And you may see Kawhi start on the ball, because we've never seen it, because they were always trying to load manage Kawhi. And even that means during the games too. But now there's no more load management. So you may see Kawhi start on Simmons. But you're right. I think there's going to be a lot of switching. I think 1 through 4, you'll see switching. Definitely 2 through 4, you'll see a lot of switching. What I'm really excited for is when they finally have a Lowry Embiid mismatch. I know like this is a terrible mismatch for the Raptors. This is probably the one mismatch that I would be like worried about. But there's going to be one mismatch where Embiid tries to take Lowry in the post and Lowry's going to win. And it's just going to be a great thing to watch. There might be a couple where Embiid wins, but that one that Lowry wins, where he's just like got his low center of gravity and using his big ass, it's going to be fun to watch.
Man, he's only 150 pounds of muscle. An additional 100 pounds of like ass muscle is going to guard Embiid and going to take that charge. That's what he's going to do. He's going to take like a 240, 250-pound Embiid charge. And it's going to give a heart attack to all Raptor fans.
You know, I was watching the other day and I was thinking, you know, it'd be really fun to watch all these big men on Lowry in the post, like a compilation of it. You know, I just watch clip after clip of every time all these big men trying to take Lowry in the post and him just like holding his ground and like them shooting a contested fadeaway jumper over him and missing.
He's phenomenal. He's really good. Like it's somehow surprising.
So I went to YouTube to find, search it, and there was nobody had gone through the trouble of finding all these clips of Big Men on Lowry and him winning the battle. So if anybody out there ever wants to create it, I will definitely watch a video of Lowry in the post against all these big men winning the battle. And speaking of things to watch, Game of Zones came out today. And that was the Raptor one. Yeah, we won't ruin it. I mean, it's one of the best things comes out of Bleacher Reports during the playoffs. It's about the Raptors and specifically about the trade for DeMar. It's really funny. So if anybody hasn't watched it yet, they should go out there and watch it.
Highly recommend that. Highly recommend it.
Yeah. Okay, so the next thing I kind of want to do is I want to go position by position and get your thoughts on who has the advantage. Like, who has the better player at the position between the two teams? So let's start with the center position. So Gasol and Embiid. So who do you give that to?
Oh, that's Embiid. Like, we know, yeah. Joel Embiid has been hurt. So Raptor fans, Joel Embiid has been pretty hurt for a little while. And we don't know the severity of his injury. He missed game three, I want to say. Yeah. Or came back in that sense. He missed game three. He came back, played game four and five. But Embiid's, he's a dominant player. He's a top 10 player in my league, man. He's phenomenal. Only thing is, his numbers against Gasol look pretty weak. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be Embiid. Even a hurt Embiid is better than Gasol, but I think Gasol is definitely going to hold his ground defensively. So on that side of the ball, I think defensively, I would say they're pretty even. I know Embiid is more athletic and younger and maybe more of a shot blocker, but Gasol defensively is just as good in a different way than Embiid. But offensively, it's not close.
Absolutely, it's something that's super interesting. It's like I looked at some of the numbers. I think they were posted online. Is it 108 possessions against Gasol? Embiid attempted 18 shots. He made just six, right? So he was 6 out of 18 in 70 possessions the year before. He was 4-11. So Gasol does give him a lot of trouble in that post. Another cool thing is that when Embiid plays all these centers, or he played Jared Allen for the next time, Jared Allen does not have the ability to shoot consistent three-point shots. Like, no center in the league actually has that at the moment, unless it's Brook Lopez, who's a bit ridiculous shooter, in my opinion. And he's giving Embiid some trouble, right? Because what that does is that forces Embiid to get out of the paint and allows other players to flourish. So with Marc Gasol and Serge, they may just take their chances on Marc Gasol and Serge shooting. Serge is not exactly the best shooter, and Marc Gasol is good, but he's not great. But I think if you're getting open shots, you take it.
Yeah. No, I mean, Gasol's better than Embiid shooting as well. Yeah. So power forward, Siakam versus Harris. This one's interesting. This one, like, I'd be curious to see what you think. Who's better at this position?
You know, I'm a big, like, I think I've always been a big fan of Harris, Tobias Harris, but Tobias Harris in LA Clippers is a different Tobias Harris in this Sixers offense. He does not fit in this offense. Like, straight up, if you've seen him play, he's doing stuff that, he's a scorer, right? Tobias Harris is a great, great, legitimate scorer. When you have too many scorers, you need someone who can actually do something else. And Tobias Harris doesn't offer that yet, for that matter. Now, that being said, I think Siakam's quicker than Tobias Harris in a lot of ways. And Harris is not a great defensively. So Siakam will, you'll see a lot of like switches between Siakam all the way going down to like, I'm sure they'd be making that, try to make that switch from Siakam on Redick very early on with this couple of screens. And you'll see Siakam dominate that pretty easily.
Yeah, so I actually think this one's probably a little bit closer. The weird thing about Harris is he always puts up good numbers, but whenever I watch him, I'm never like, oh man, he scares me. You know, he's just like, oh, he got his 20 points, but he doesn't scare me. You know, like other players scare you when you're like, oh, don't give him the ball or whatever. He's going to make something happen. He's just like, he gets his 20 points and he gets them pretty quietly. And it just, I don't know, it just feels that way. So I think this one's probably pretty close in terms of Siakam and Harris. Siakam, I think, defensively is going to be better. But I think Harris has a chance to have a better series if he goes, you know, if he gets hot. He's a better shooter.
I don't think Harris can guard him on the transition at all. Yeah. He's going to have a lot of issues dealing with Siakam's quick feet and his speed. So keep an eye out for that, guys. Like, Philadelphia plays fast, but the guy who's really playing fast is Ben Simmons. To be honest with you, Ben Simmons runs that team on a very high pace. But on the other end, if they're forcing like these guys to take some corner shots or really bad shots, you're gonna see like that Siakam, Lowry Siakam thing on Harris very often. So,
Small forward, I don't think this one's much of a contest, is Leonard versus Butler. We don't really talk about him much, but I think we both agree that Leonard is significantly better than Butler.
Man, Kawhi Leonard is amazing, man. He's like, he's like, this playoff, we've seen like a new different version of Kawhi. Like, he's like stepped up and like, well, he's, I think it's like all this load management stuff. And he's like, holy shit, like, this is the player we have. Like, this
he said 82 games of practice, man. 82 games of practice.
Some of these shots he takes are like amazing, and they're good. He makes mid-range game look pretty good. There you go. That's what everyone criticizes, the mid-range. A lot of his shots in the mid-range, they're good shots because he just towers over everyone.
Yep. So I think that one. So with you, so we think the first three positions, you think your advantage Raptors. The first power position. Forward, small forward, advantage Raptors, and the center advantage Philly.
Yep.
This one's interesting too. Shooting guard, Green versus Redick. Where do you think the advantage goes there? So Redick, obviously, offensively, he scores 18 points a game.
He's having the highest of his career, to be honest with you, this year, which is surprising when you have like so many shooters in there. But Redick's...
I mean, I think it was higher before the trade. It's come down a little bit, but it's still 18 points on 50%. Oh, sorry, on 40% from three and 44% overall. So I mean, it's pretty good in high efficiency. 18 points. Especially when you're taking his volume of threes, right?
His catch and shoot game is ridiculous. I have never seen a player have that quick catch and shoot. And I saw some film. I was watching some film this past few days on Philadelphia 76ers, and they run the same play for Redick. It's an Embiid lope on the elbow, having the ball, hand off to Redick. Redick gets a screen from Embiid. And what happens is that the guy doesn't follow through, and Redick gets like an open two or open three. And he's very good at that. He's very, very good. So on offensively, I think Redick has that. Where Danny Green's more of a catch and shoot, I would say. Like a really good catch and shoot. And like Redick runs around a lot more than Danny. I mean, Danny Green needs his like proper spot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We know that. We know his proper spot. He'll do a couple of transitions here and there. That's fine. But Redick is all transition. Like, it's like ridiculous. He's moving around.
Did you give this one to Redick or Green?
On offensively, it's Redick. Defensively, it's Green. Because Green's way better defensively.
Redick, but who do you think is more value for your team?
Oh, I take Danny Green just because on the defensive end.
Really? I have to give this one to Redick. I think overall he's going to be more valuable for his team.
Oh, for his team. Yeah, for Philly, yeah. Redick's offense is... Well, think about it. Their three-point shooting isn't the greatest. I think they're like... I want to say... What are they like? I think they were I want to say they were 14th in the league in three-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Not the greatest. And now if you take Reddit out, that thing drops to 21%, right? Like, it's really bad. No one's really a good three-point shooter. I mean, J.J. Redick is a really consistently good three-point shooter in this league. So I'll give him that.
So when I was thinking about this earlier today, I obviously had similar things. I thought, obviously, advantage at the center position and at shooting guard for Philly, and then small forward and power forward for the Raptors. Then I came to point guard. Point guard and bench. I actually debated these two. These ones are hard. So point guard, Lowry versus Simmons.
Oh, it's easy, man. I don't have a debate on that one. I have Lowry.
You have Lowry? I actually have Lowry too, but I just thought the hype train around Simmons, and I'm just not a big believer and fan of his game yet. Like, I cannot deal with people who can't shoot in today's NBA. Like, I just can't give you any love. That's why I don't give Russell Westbrook love either. Like, he Simmons just cannot shoot. And so, for me, that I feel like it's going to cost them in this series.
Hold on. Simmons can't shoot. We don't know if he can't shoot. He just doesn't shoot. And he doesn't shoot. So, we have no idea if he can actually even, like, launch a shot that will hit the rim, to be honest with you, right? On a three-point. I don't even know if it's going to hit. That's how bad he is. Like, we have no idea. Like, he doesn't even do it.
So, in your mind... Point guard goes to the Raptors, no matter what.
I think the only thing, I can't believe I'm saying this, Lowry's disadvantage in this is in the defensive end, and that's because of the matchup thing. Ben Simmons has historically not had a great year this year. Like, numbers are okay, but advanced statistics show he's not actually having a really good shooting year. I'll tell you an example right now. He averages 7.7 assists, but he also averages 3.5 turnovers. The cat's back?
The cat is back.
More treats.
No worries. She wants treats. She wants treats. She'll get treats after the podcast.
There you go. 7.7 assists and 3.5 turnovers, which is pretty bad. Like, 3.5 turnovers? Like, that's not a great turnover ratio. And he's a 60% free throw shooter, which is ridiculous. I'm like, oh my God, a 60% free throw shooting? You might as well foul him. But he did hit 9 out of 11 in the Brooklyn game, and that backfired on Brooklyn. So...
Yeah, so I give it to Lowry too, because I think he does things, although Simmons is probably better defensively and rebounding than Lowry, both of those areas, I think Lowry is adequate. And I think the areas of shooting, Lowry's so much better that it gives him, it kind of tilts things in his favor. So I give this a 3-2 advantage for the Raptors on the starting positions. And the last one, we won't do it position by position. We'll just do the bench as a whole. So the Raptors, let's just do the first three on both, because I don't know if OG and Ennis are going to get a lot of minutes in the series, because OG's injured and Ennis is just their ninth guy. So Van Vliet, Powell, and Ibaka versus Mike Scott, McConnell, and Boban.
No, this is not even a matchup. I think this is Raptors, even though Van Vliet hasn't had a great shooting thing.
So I agree with you on paper. But the way they're actually playing right now, it becomes more of a debate.
No, I don't think so, man. I think you got, like, first of all, Mike Scott is like a Raptor killer. That's the only part that scares you, because he shoots a damn ball.
Boban doesn't scare you? Boban versus Ibaka is going to be fun, man.
No, Boban doesn't scare me at all, man. He does not scare me at all. He is like, he's a decent offensive player, just because he's like 8'4", whatever it is. Okay. But defensively, oh my God, I can't wait for a matchup on Boban on like Siakam on Boban or some shit like that.
Oh,
some
man.
Switch of that would be amazing.
He's right. Going to walk around him. He doesn't have to run. He just walks.
It's ridiculous, right? Van Fleet's not having a good spell so far, but I think it's because now when you bring the point guards to a little bit, like he had trouble with length with Orlando, like it doesn't get better. Like Philly's all tall as well, right? So he's with the bench, with McConnell, he's going to have some success. He'll beat them, right?
Because McConnell's not as tall as the guys.
Not at all. Yeah. And Norman Powell just has to find his way. And I think if Norman Powell doesn't like jack up like on four shots, in a sense, we'll be all right. He has to play the same game he's been playing. Like, there's no unnecessary fancy stuff or anything like that. And Ibaka, man, come on, man. Serge Ibaka, this guy's got like a freaking TV show. He's got nothing on James Ennis or Boban, all right? No, this is Serge Ibaka's team.
Ibaka released a 50-second clip as well of a little bit more of the how hungry are you with Kawhi.
Another,
so much great Raptor content coming out between Danny Green's podcast, Ibaka's cooking show, Open Gym.
I don't know if these guys have like got like some word from the NBPA that their pensions are going to be gone or something, because everyone's starting like businesses right now and taking the concept of side hustle to another level. Like everyone's got a side hustle. You know, even like freaking NBA players have side hustles. Like these guys got podcasts, then they. Norman Powell and Fred VanVleet have t-shirt lines, and Siakam's got some new t-shirt line. I feel like the only way to actually start a business these days is start playing basketball, become relatively good, get drafted or undrafted and get selected by the Toronto Raptors in like the second round or some shit like that, right? Have this chip on your shoulder, do well, release an Instagram page, promote product. It's the same damn thing.
Pascal's going crazy with his product, man. He was on he was doing his post game interview, his podium, and he has his shirt that has his PS, which is like looks like a heart, and then he's got like a I guess it's a travel bag for you know his shaving stuff or whatever.
I see people wearing that. What is that? Like, why do people wear that? Is that like a purse? Is it a merce?
It's a merce. It's like a toiletries bag. It's just a really big toiletries bag. But it's
who walks around with toiletries bag in a random like thing? Like, who does this?
No, he's selling, man. He brought it up and he put it nice and right in front of the camera so everybody can see his Pascal Siakam logo, which you can probably purchase somewhere or will be able to purchase soon.
100%. Yeah, if you're going to be a most improved player, this is going to come out at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, most improved player is sponsored by Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, buy your toiletries bag.
It's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous. It's get to a point.
We're going to get out of here. We're going to keep this short. Last thing, what is your prediction for this series?
Raps in six, bro. Raps in six. Okay, I'm gonna give you three things though before I'll let you do your prediction. All right, three things that I think Raptors need to do to get the Raps in six.
Okay.
Turnover defense. Toronto has been number one in opponent turnovers at 14% per possession. Right, that's really good. 14% of opponents' possessions, but we're creating turnovers. We got to keep that up. Philly's been horrible at turnovers. They turn the ball over really well. We got to put that defense, and that's gonna be key. Second, foul calls. I mentioned this before. We got to get to the line more often. Philly fouls a lot, so you got to take advantage of this. We are last in the playoffs in getting to the line. We got to get this. And last, transition offense, defense. That's the biggest key. Philly's very good in transition defense, but we're better. So we have to play a game that's really, really sustainable to our pace, not their pace.
Okay. Yeah. I think, transition offense, I even in the last series, that was kind of an issue, but at the end of the day, like, this is the playoffs. You're going to see a little bit more, you know, people running back a little bit harder and things like that. So we'll see how it gets off. I agree with all those things. Those are important things to keep in check. The foul calls, I mean, I didn't really think that the Raptors were trying in the last series. I just felt like the calls didn't go their way till the last game when it kind of evened out a little bit. But, you know, it happens. Hopefully it doesn't happen in this series. So my prediction is Raps in five. I actually think this is not going to be a very, very close series at all. I think defensively, they are so much better at every position.
I hope so. It'd be nice. But let's see how it goes, man. I'm excited for Saturday. Hopefully Saturday game, 7:30.
My bigger prediction is Raps are going to win the game one.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, game one. I think they learned their lesson after the Orlando. The Orlando loss might, in hindsight, end up being the greatest thing that happened to the Raptors this playoff.
Are we going
to
call a guarantee right here?
No, I'm not calling.
You're not calling a sheed?
No.
A guaranteed?
Nobody does.
No,
this is like a guaranteed is an inside joke amongst our friends. You declare guaranteed when you think the team's gonna win, but you got to be really sure.
Yeah, guaranteed.
There was a guaranteed laid out for the Leafs game 7 that didn't go so well.
Yeah, that's because Jake Gardner doesn't believe in like guaranteed at all. He screwed everything up.
I know, and one guy who's Hyman was playing with the torn ACL.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. NHL players.
I know. The thing is, they can play with it because they don't have to jump. But still, it's still really crazy to play with it.
It's okay. Psychotic, man. All
right. We're good. Anything else?
That's it. Appreciate it. Thank you for listening. We'll be back later on at the end of the playoff and end of this round. Hopefully, we'll recap this. Hopefully, we get to round 3. Crossing fingers, and we'll go from there.
Yep. We'll see you guys when there's something relevant to talk about. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Appreciate it.